Welcome to the State of CRM podcast, episode 2. I'm Matt Engstrom and I'm here with Ben Boutier. Today we're going to take a step back and think about one of the biggest trends in marketing, and that's personalization through automation. Is it the silver bullet it's made out to be? Great. Well, today we will be talking about CRM personalization and automation, how it relates to marketing strategy, and is it the silver bullet that CRM marketers are hoping for? It's been a major topic that people have been talking about throughout the industry, both within the acquisition funnel and also within CRM marketing as well. I think there's a few different reasons for that, which we'd like to discuss today. I think we're definitely now in a time technologically where we're able to create really, customized journeys, both, again, from an acquisition perspective. So pushing, if you believe in the consumer funnel, appropriate content and touch points with customers to basically push them down the funnel to purchase. Or what we're going to be focusing on today is what that really means for customer marketers and how they can or how they intend to use it for building better relationships with their customers and driving ROI over time, and some of the potential benefits and also maybe some of the pitfalls of that as well.
Yeah, sure. That's definitely an interesting question. Really happy to talk about that today. Yeah, I know that you have a lot of thought around this topic, and I'm happy to contribute to that too. What about starting with the marketing automation thing? All the industry, the market, the martech, talking a lot about marketing automation. What are the downside? What are the positive side of it? And what does it mean for a marketer? Do you have any thought on that?
Yeah. I think it's definitely something I've been thinking about quite a bit over the last couple months or so. It's actually a topic I find to be pretty interesting because, you know, as we were mentioning at the beginning of the conversation today, I think that the industry tends to grab onto trends. And I'm by no means saying that personalization doesn't have its place in automation as well. But I think kind of taking it a step back, I think, what marketers are essentially trying to do with personalization as it relates to customer marketing is replicating a very very in-depth experience for customers, this similar to how they would get in a brick and mortar store. So if you think about brick and mortar shopping in particular, it's like a whole immersive experience. You go into the store, there's branding, you have an opportunity to browse around and see what you might be interested in purchasing. You have an opportunity to talk to sales representatives, interact, there's music, there's an opportunity to try things on. So it's definitely an immersive experience that I think digitally obviously is impossible to replicate. And I think personalization in particular has arisen to sort of address that gap between that experience you can get from a brick and mortar store and then also, you know, sort of that linear experience of just sort of receiving messaging and doing something when you have that sort of like those touch points that are just digitally. So I think customers or marketers are pretty eager to put their customers first, which is generally a top goal for them and something that I think we're seeing pretty frequently. And I think in terms of your question around what is it? What does it mean? Or what are the differences? So, personalization is really, the goal is, again, to create that experience online, which we'll talk about some of the pros and cons of that in a little bit. And automation is really sort of being able to scale that almost, creating a way to, because if you were to personalize an experience for every single customer and you didn't have a software capability to be able to help you to do that, you would need thousands of marketers to create individual experiences for each customer using data, creating content, creating distribution channels, et cetera, which is impossible. And so that's where the automation piece comes into play.
Yeah, and I'm coming back on what you explained on the parallel with the store, the experience in store. That's, you have a rep in the store, there is a client, customer coming in, you can have a touch point. They have a discussion. They have or they have not. So the customer can say, oh, I don't need any help. But there is touch point. There is an interaction here. There is the interaction with the rest of the store, all the ambience and all of you mentioned. Replicating that at scale, that means in marketing, in CRM manager, managing hundreds of thousands of users, millions of users, they want to do that at this scale. And the best idea would be to say, okay, let's do it and propose, send message, communicate with our consumer base in a way that we can personalize this experience with one-to-one messages. And the automation, as you said, is the only way to go. The other thing I really think drive people and marketers in this direction of the in the direction of the automation is the fact that if you want to produce that, to increase this amount of touch points and personalized touch points, you also want to progress. And in this path of progress, there is one easy way that, oh, I will do a lot of progress by setting up once or twice or working during 2-3 months around this personalization tool, creating new journeys, and then I will be able to stack up all these journeys, triggers, or experiences with automation tool. The issue with that, the issue I see, and I think we share the point of view, is that you can't scale up that or stack up with no limit of time. That's okay, you have your first 10, 20, 50 first journeys. What's next? What are you doing next? What's your job to, what it means to add the 100 journey in your tool? How do you control all of that? And in a way, I really think that if you jump on this path that sounds really the best way, on the road to in your journey with this strategy, sooner or later you will realize that you don't even know what your customer are actually receiving, and that's not the initial goal. The initial goal is to provide a customer experience, a better journey, a better relationship with your brand. And they are receiving message, you are pushing them message, whatever the channel we are talking about, you are pushing messages that you are not controlling. You control the setup of it, you control the message in a journey, but the stacking up the journeys make you make the fact that you are no longer in control of that.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point. And it's interesting too, because you know, obviously kind of going back to point number one, which is that all marketers are looking to put their customers first. And I know that can be interpreted in a lot of different ways, but it essentially means making customers, feel something towards their brand to purchase more, but to build that strong relationship. And ultimately, that's what those journeys are intended to create. But you have to wonder, again, kind of going back to the brick and mortar comparison, In a lot of ways, those strategies, personalization strategies, have been created to, I don't want to say replicate the same experience, but to elicit that sort of emotional response and that connectivity to the brand. But I think translated digitally, especially when you don't have control over that journey, it can come off from the customer perspective as almost a little intrusive or creepy. Like, it doesn't necessarily translate directly into digital in quite the same way. I know that sample size of one, but I've received emails that are overly personalized, that it just feels like they probably shouldn't be taking these data touch points. Because when it comes directly from a person, it feels authentic, it feels human, it feels genuine. But personalization directly from, you know, an automated source comes across that way as well. So I think that, coupled with what you were saying around the marketer kind of almost losing control of the ability to build that relationship, control those touch points, understand what's happening and how they're communicating. I think, again, not saying personalization is not a way to go, but I think you have to control it and know how to use it in a strategic way where you're not off-putting your customer base.
Yeah, and maybe to illustrate that and to help the audience, people listening to the podcast, to think about their situation. I see two main descriptions of where they can stand. The first one is they just started to do this automation implementation, or they are I mean, just like in the last month's quarter or 6 months ago, they are still ramping up, adding more journeys. And in this case, I want you to think about, okay, what will be next? Because right now, you want to progress, you want to make improvement in your strategy, you want your customer to have a better experience, and at the same time, you want to achieve your goals. That can be your business goal, the global business goal of your company, or your personal goal as CRM in the CRM department. That's the goal. I can guess that it's making progress and, I don't know, increasing by 5%, 10%, 20% the revenue your tactic are generating month over month, quarter over quarter, or year over year. In this context, okay, what will be the next move? Not the move in 1 month or one quarter when you will still have idea of a journeys, but what will be the next move in 2 quarters, 3 quarters, next year? What you will be doing as marketers to continue to generate more value for your business, because that's why you are working there. And automation won't be the reply. You'll have to do something else because you will reach a ceiling on how many journeys you will be able to stack up and ideas you will have. My other question for the rest of the audience, for the people who maybe think that, oh yeah, I done that 2 years ago already, 3 years ago. I have two questions for you guys. The first one is, when is the last time you revised or challenged one of the journey you set up 3 years ago? And that was maybe a good idea. That was, I'm sure, a good idea, but that was another context. Are you sure that the journeys you set up 2 or 3 years ago are still relevant? Are they still personalized in the way that you think that in the first place? Are they picking up the right offers to the right customer still 2 years later? I'm not sure. At least I know that a lot of marketers are not challenging what was done a long time ago, maybe by someone else for a different reason, and that just still running up every week. The other question for these marketers who already set up that for a long time is what are you doing as marketers right now? Because if everything is running and your journey's triggers are running correctly, I'm guessing, and I know that by discussing a lot with a lot of you guys, you spend part of your week to check if the feeds are working. Does your journeys, your messages are going out? Okay, but that's not marketing. You're checking feeds. That's operation. You need to do that. As a marketer, you need to be able to have your hands on these kind of things in the data, in the feeds now. That's not the marketers from like 10 years ago, but you need to be able to do these technical things and technical checks. But where is the creativity of the marketers here? And if you have triggers or journeys for 2, 3 years running, where is your marketer goals and what's your input in the marketing plan?
Yeah. I think that's really interesting to think about as well. And I know you've had a ton of experience as a CRM marketer yourself. So I'm sure you're tapping into some knowledge and whatnot from your background. I think you bring up an interesting point around I wouldn't say that necessarily personalization and automation are at odds with each other, but I wonder if the goals they're trying to achieve to a certain degree are, right? So you have personalization, which is, again, like almost without thinking too deeply about it, a marketer's dream. I can create really strong relationships with customers, again, based on things that they would be interested in leaning in on or things that are relevant to their lives, like all of the things that, from an emotional standpoint, marketers want to tap into. And so you have that sort of the goal of that. And then you have the automated goal, which is really around being able to scale your activities in an effective way. But can you really like build personalized relationships in an effective way at scale with automation? I almost feel like philosophically, in a way, they sort of are at odds with each other. And I know that, Gartner came up with a statistic, I think it was in like the end of 2019 or something, where they were saying they predicted about 80% of marketers who engage in personalization tools would eventually abandon them for ROI reasons, concerns around that. And, you know, we have a few years to go before we see whether or not that plays out to be the case. But I think, you know, within this world of a hyper focus on personalization, there does need to be some thoughts around, to your point, what does it mean for marketers? What does it mean for strategy? Is it actually aligned with the realities that they face day to day? And then one of the reasons that they cited as well was consumer trust, which I think kind of goes back to some of the things that we had alluded about earlier in the conversation around, is this really building consumer trust, or is this potentially have the opposite effect because that sort of in-depth personalized approach isn't necessarily translating well into digital? So I think, I guess, kind of tapping into your experience, Ben, maybe a question for you that might be interesting to get your thoughts on. If personalization plus automation at scale, like we've been talking about, isn't necessarily the right way to think about customer centricity or putting your customers first, which again is the ultimate goal of marketers, especially working in CRM, are there things people could be thinking about or marketers could be thinking about and ways to do that that actually could be correct, allow them to be the true marketing strategists that they are, maintain the ability to meet their business goals, all while putting, you know, customers at the center of the strategy, which I think is a difficult thing to do with technology.
Definitely. Personalization is not the solution to everything. But don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you need to remove all this personalization. That's in the right strategy or the ideal strategy, you need to have some personalization, and you can get this great experience with your customer for certain type of touch points and create amazing journeys. But what I'm saying is that you can't rely only on automation and personalization thanks to the automation. You can do a lot, you can take a lot of other path to do personalization and personalized experience and to have the customer really feeling a great experience with your brand, your store, your e-com, whatever the business you have, without necessarily having everything into your automation tool. The other thing that personalization can't achieve is the reality of your job. I mean, as a marketer, the goal of making a great personalized experience, that's really a nice and noble objective. But at the same time, you are working for a company who will come to you, like coming from business owners, commerce department, with objective, with new categories. Simple question. Oh, if I am a fashion company, a retailer, and I just have this new collection of pants, okay, or shoes, how do I promote that? I need to put that in front of the right customer, the customer who wants to buy that, or the customer with interest for these products. That can be trade marketing. You have a deal with a supplier and you want to promote one supplier and you have to. That can be new offer, that can be overstock, that can be discount. What about this TV that is a niche product in a way that it's super expensive and that you don't want everyone in your database to be exposed to? And your personalization tool won't pick up this part of your catalog anyway, because that's brand new, and that's a new Sony or Panasonic TV that's just be released and that will be included nowhere in your journeys. So as a marketer, you have goals. You have goals in terms of revenue, in terms of customer experience, and you have goals in terms of specific category or offers to promote. In the travel industry, how do you fill the room of this hotel in Sao Paulo next week? I mean, that's the goal. If that's empty next week, the day will pass and you will never catch up the revenue lost of this room empty, the empty room. So that's not so easy. I mean, you have to balance between different objectives, and the automation can't help on every front.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think, you know, as a marketer, I can relate to that. I think, like, we all wish that we could plan months and months and months in advance for every single ask or request or business objective that's set. But the reality of it is marketing is a nimble profession where you have to react last minute to changes, new requests for things. And I think CRM marketers face that more than ever. And I guess, you know, if you are asked to drive revenue for a certain product category, a brand new product, as you say, you know, that becomes difficult because a lot of personalization capabilities or software are based on triggers or like explicit consumer behavior, things like that. So I've shown interest in, for example, traveling to Sao Paulo in the past. I might be targeted for that hotel in the future, but just because I went there once before doesn't mean I'm going to go there once again. So you run into a situation where maybe your company is really focused on selling shoes, but you have a big revenue opportunity and a goal around selling hats. But most of the triggers indicate your audience wants to buy shoes, which is what an automated capability would push if it's focused on personalization. And it would leave out potentially audiences that might actually want to buy your hats. Because again, kind of going back to what you were saying, the marketer gets pulled out of the equation a little bit and that automation sort of just takes over. And that's where I think we need to go back a little bit to a balance between human intuition, understanding, control of the strategy, along with the ability to scale that type of thing.
Yeah, the initial goal or promise from the automation will fade. And that's what Gartner said last year, and what we were trying to explain when you realize that as marketer you can't touch base on all your goals or your business goals, and bridge the gap between the reality of the customer experience and the reality of the business. You have to to elaborate a strategy that rely on different parts, and actually 5, 10, 15%, 20% in some case, I don't know, but let's say 10% of your strategy will be based and your business will be based on automation because you can rely on that, and that's a good experience for your user. But the rest of every single request you got every day or every week, because I mean, I know you got someone coming and showing up in your office or calling you or sending you a Zoom link saying that, hey, by the way, we have this new product we need to accelerate. And how do you do that? How do you push this product tomorrow? Because you need to promote it. How do you get away from receiving or sending, but as a consumer, receiving every single week the same offer in your email because the personalization tool, automation tool, said that you are really keen to buy shorts. Great, but what about shirts or pants? I mean, the other categories. And in travel, that's the same. That's the package. I mean, I know that the travel is really in trouble these days, but that will pick up hopefully soon. And yeah, your example about a destination, a way of traveling, the context change, your as a consumer, your destination, your hope or your dream to fly to Hawaii change to another destination maybe, and finally we'll go maybe closer but with another package and maybe with a suite. And if you always went to long haul, to destinations that are long haul but with very cheap price, maybe the context made you change your way to approach your holidays or vacation. And let me know if your automation tool pick up that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting one, especially for marketers, and probably like, I think a hopeful note to potentially end on is that not just hopeful, but I think like exciting from my perspective, and that's essentially that machines cannot do the work of a marketer for them. You know, there needs to be that level of being able to control your own strategy, to be able to make the decisions to align that with what your business requires, whether it's promoting more products, reaching a short-term revenue goal, whatever it is. Like, essentially, the marketer has to come in and save the day all the time. And I think in order to be able to do that, we're never going to be able to have an automated system that can just take care of that. And then also, as you had mentioned, simultaneously put customers at the forefront of the strategy. So I think, in short, personalization, as you say, has a place in the stack, but potentially is not the silver bullet, solve all problems, set it and forget it kind of software solution that marketers are looking for. But I guess, you know, I guess time will tell, and we'll see if Gardner is right or if some other outcome ends up happening. But
yeah, sooner or later, all the markets will realize that can be one truth with personalization and automation. And the sooner you realize that, the better for your strategy and your business, because the sooner you will be able to do the right mix and accept that, to do more business, to do more campaign, to do a better customer experience, to provide a better customer experience, you need to do more work as a marketer. You need to organize your work differently and not just think that you can rely on automation.
Absolutely.
I think that's it for today. Thank you for listening to this podcast, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. And don't hesitate to contact us if you have any feedback, any comments on this topic. We are happy to reply and to discuss. That can be by email, on LinkedIn, whatever channel you can find us. You have no trouble to open a discussion.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening.